السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
Huzoor says that in my last Friday sermon, I mentioned something regarding the attribute of Allah Al-Wasi, what has been mentioned in the Holy Quran, some of the commandments which were mentioned, I mentioned about those things. Today I will continue on the same subject, and in this continuation, in the light of certain verses of the Holy Quran, in which various types of subjects regarding this matter which are connected with our daily life, they will be mentioned today and also which are related to our moral and moral behaviors and attitudes. Allah Almighty, who because of His very bountiful knowledge and very widespread knowledge, He has mentioned all these commandments and guided us to those paths by following which we can become the recipient according to our capacities, the recipients of the blessings of Allah Almighty. We can also be able to gather those bounties of Allah, and we can be blessed with these bounties, and also we can attain to the pleasure of Allah Almighty. With reference to this, Allah Almighty has He has also referred to our domestic relationship and matters. Our social matters are also mentioned, and in that guidance has been given to us. Similarly, our religious condition, to put them right on the right track, set them on the right track, and our spiritual and moral situations, how they have to be developed, Allah Almighty has guided us to this matter as well. In short, in every respect, every aspect of a human life, in relation to that, Allah Almighty has covered all of it, and He has guided us fully in all these matters. As in the human beings has been commanded to acquire the colors of God, to get the attributes of Allah, so therefore He also has to be very particular in order to attain his moral and spiritual status. He has been commanded to expand the activities in such a way that a person can become recipient of the closeness and nearness to Allah Almighty. And along with that, he has also mentioned and told us that as I know your capacities, so therefore the task that I have entrusted to you, that is not beyond your capacity. And and the expansion of those capabilities is different from person to person. And when these capacities are not similar, then when Allah Almighty gives a command, then He gives the command according to His capacity. But to define the limits of one's capacity is not the job of a human being. This is Allah Almighty, who knows the capacities and capabilities of each one of us. So therefore, whatever commandments Allah has revealed, regarding those it can't be said that this is beyond our capacity. There are some hidden abilities which are given to every human being by God Almighty. To make use of these, to enhance them and to brighten them, this is the duty of everyone. Allah Almighty, when He said that with reference to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is a role model for you and the best exemplar, so then he asked us to follow the best example set by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The best person, the best exemplar is one which Allah Almighty has created, whose capacities and capabilities, there is no limit to that. If we look at his life from any aspect, from any angle, then we always see a very high standard set by him. But we have been commanded that you, in his noble example, the example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there, and it is your responsibility to follow that example and try your best to the best of your ability. I mentioned in the beginning that Allah Almighty, the points in which He has guided us, one of that is our family matters, our matrimonial affairs. There are certain verses of the Holy Quran which I am going to present today in this regard. But before that, I would like to say something about the noble example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard, which he has set for us. That how was the way in which he treated his family members, and what a high standard he set in his dealing with his wives and family members. At one occasion he said that the best among you is he who is best in his treatment to his wives. And in this respect, I can tell you that I am the best person, or the person who is dealing in the best possible manner with my wives and family members. And then he said that if you see some defect in one another, or the person, the other, some habit of the other person you don't like, but there may be many such things which you would like very much, so why don't you keep those good points in front of you, and then you should acquire the quality of isar, and you should try to create an atmosphere of reconciliation and understanding. This is the instruction both for men and women, husband and wife. And all his wives, they are witness to the fact that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always very, very kind in his treatment to them. Whenever he wanted to go on a journey, he would pick up the names and through the lot and select one. and during the sickness and take her along with her in journey. In their sickness, he would look after them. But despite all this, he is always praying to Allah Almighty that, O my Allah, you know that to the best of the human ability, I am dealing with them honestly and equally. That is what I do. But my Allah, on my heart, I don't have my control. If my heart's inclination, because of the beauty of someone, the excellence of some wife, or her capabilities, or good points, is towards one, then please, O Allah, forgive me for that. The relationship with Hazrat Khadija, radiallahu ta'ala anha, about that, he gave this reply to Hazrat Aisha, that Hazrat Khadija became my companion when I was all alone, and she became my helper when I was helpless. She spent her money upon me, gave me plentiful, and also Allah blessed me with my progeny from her. And she accepted me when the people of the world rejected me. And his appreciation for her good qualities and the heart which he had like that was so much that he always appreciated her, that despite her the living and young wives were there, they were very beloved to her, beloved to him, because he got the maximum number of revelation in her apartment. And she said that Allah Almighty has mentioned those good ladies with you, so why do you always remember that old wife? Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to make her understand in a very loving way that these are the good qualities for which I always remember my first wife. Today, those orientalists and those people who criticize the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have been using very foul and abusive languages. Haven't they seen the noble example of my master, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that how he discharged his rights of his families, family members and wives, and he treated them all equally, despite the fact that nobody has the full control over one's heart. But so far as the apparent treatment is concerned, that was absolutely equal. And the wife who sacrificed everything in the beginning, mentioning her sacrifices, he told the living wives that I am the one who is always appreciative of the good points, the values of the people. I appreciate that. If I do not do like that, then how can I be called a grateful person to Allah Almighty, who has never left me penniless or without any help, and he has been given me abundance of his blessings. The kind treatment of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his wife was because of the fact that Allah Almighty has commanded that you should be always kind to them with justice and equality. And when he asked his followers that this is the commandment of Allah, you follow that, so then he set its highest example, the noblest example he set himself. If Allah Almighty has permitted for more than one wives, then Islam has also laid certain conditions. This is one of the criticism against Islam and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that with this permission of more than one wife, it is a great injustice to wife, and it is only taken care of the right sentiments of the man. But Allah Almighty says in this regard, and this is not a simple free permission, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تُقْسِطُوا فِي الْيَتَامَى فَانْكِحُوا طَائِفَةً مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى تَوْلُوا. And if you fear that you won't be able to establish justice in case of the slave women, then those ladies whom you like, you can get married two, three or four. But if you are afraid that you won't be able to set up the standard of justice and equality, then only one is enough or that which you possess. And this is the right way, that you should not indulge in any iniquity or injustice. So in this verse, Allah Almighty has given a protection to the orphan ladies, that if you marry them, then you should discharge full responsibility to them, and their dues should be given to them fully. And after the marriage, you have to take regard for their sentiments, and never ever you should think that nobody is looking after them. So as you can do in any way you like, that thought should not be there. And if regarding your inclination or your temperament, you fear that you won't be able to do justice, then you should get married to those who are free ladies, 2, 3 or 4, but with the requirement of justice. If you cannot maintain this justice, then you are not allowed to go for more than one. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says in this regard that the orphan ladies, it is not forbidden to get married to them. But if you think that they are helpless and you are going to do some injustice against them, so then you get married to those ladies who have got their family members, parents and other people, and so that you could be afraid of them. Maybe you can have 1, 2, 3 or 4, provided you treat them equally. If this equality is not there, justice is not there, then you should only go for one, even if you require more than that. So now you can see that the Hakam and Adal, the one who has decided the matters for us today in this age, he has mentioned it, a very profound wisdom has given. He has decided that the need on the basis of which you normally go for the other second marriages, that is not more important. But what is more important, that the peace of society and justice, that is more important. Nowadays, I get the complaint from here and there. Some people say that the children are there, they have got the progeny, but still the husband wants to get married. With the certain petty excuses. So the first thing in this matter is that Allah Almighty says that if you cannot establish, go for justice and cannot dispense justice, and in justice all types of rights are mentioned there. If you don't have enough income to run the expenses of the family, so then if you get married to a second lady, then you are trying to deny the rights of the first wife. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says that if because of some compulsion you have to go for the second marriage, then in that case the first wife should be taken care of more than before. But what we see nowadays in society, generally speaking, is that the attention towards the first wife and the responsibilities of the children from that wife, people are simply closing their eyes from that, and they are simply disobeying the commandment of Allah Almighty. So this is analysis is very important, that if the financial capacity is there and you will not be committing any injustice in this financial matter, that is one point. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says that in our opinion it is better that a person should not put oneself into trial by getting married for the second time. So therefore the responsibility of the wife is such a great responsibility that without doing that you put yourself into trouble and difficulty and trial, and sometime you become the recipient of the wrath of Allah Almighty and displeasure of Allah. I mentioned one prayer of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he used to pray to Allah Almighty that so far as apparently the requirement of all my wives are concerned, I try to discharge them, but because of the some good values and qualities of one wife, if I mention something which is beyond my control, then I should be forgiven for that. And this is something which is exactly in accordance with human nature. And Allah Almighty, who has created human beings and he has permitted for more than one wife, who knows what is deep down into the heart of the human beings, he is the knower of the unseen. That Allah Almighty has mentioned this point and clarified this point in the Holy Quran, that if such a situation may happen, that because of certain situations, you may be inclined towards one wife. So in that case, this is very must, essential and very important, that all the financial requirements which you have, that must be discharged properly. And if وَلَنْتَسْتَثِيُوا أَنْ تَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتُمْ فَلَا تَمِيلُوا كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ فَتَذَرُوهَا كَالْمُعَلَّقَةِ وَإِنْ تُصْلِحُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And Allah Almighty says that if you are not able, if you think you are not going to be able, that you have a full justice between your wives, whatever you may wish and desire. So in that case, it should be there that you should not be totally inclined towards one and left the other one just as suspended or stuck in the middle. Rather, you acquire the quality of righteousness, and if you do so, then Allah Almighty is most forgiving and very merciful. So in such matters where a person is helpless, is beyond his capacity, so in that case absolute justice may not be possible, but whatever so to the degree of whatever a person can do, justice is very essential. And apparent equality and justice, the clothing, the finance, the expenses, and the accommodation and the time, all these things are included in that one. Simply giving the money and not giving the time, that is not right. And just to make the arrangement of the accommodation and for the family expenses, no arrangement to be made and left them to the help of other people, that is also wrong. So far as the apparent aspect is concerned, the total responsibility is on that husband. In one narration it is mentioned that the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that the person who is having two wives and he is inclined only towards one and he is totally ignoring the other one, then on the day of judgment he would be raised in such a condition that one part of the body would be cut off and severed. So Allah Almighty says that this is the righteousness is that you take care of the responsibilities and the duties of the two, and no wife should be left in this way that she is deprived of her due rights, nor you are throwing her away, nor you are taking care of her rights. This should not be the attitude of a true believers. So this is the responsibility of a believer, that he should avoid all those things and reform himself, avoid those things which are bad, from which Allah Almighty has stopped. There are certain complaints coming to me that the husband does not pay attention to the first wife and he is inclined more towards one, and the other wife has been left just without any attention, and sometime on the basis of certain excuses for certain one wife, it is said that rather in some time in cases of one, even then this thing happens. There are certain disputes of this nature which also come to my notice. The husband says that I am not going to leave you, nor I am going to divorce you, nor I am going to keep you as my full wife. And if the matter goes to the court, to the qaza, then they prolong and linger on with that dispute. And they are thinking of certain excuses and pretexts that the matter should be prolonged. And some of the wives, they are not given divorce because she should apply for khula herself, so that one may not have to, the husband may not have to pay the haq mehr. So all such things are such which are totally taking a person away from righteousness. Allah Almighty says, you reform yourself. If you are seeking the forgiveness and mercy of Allah for you, so also do the same thing to your wife and give the due rights to the wife and let her live in that house with full respect. And if you want to get a portion from the immense blessing, the mercy of Allah Almighty, so then you should also expand the scope of your mercy. And in this verse which I recited, in the next verse Allah said, وَإِنْ يَتَفَرَّقَ يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلُّم مِّن سَعَتِهِ وَقَانَ اللَّهُ وَاسِعًا عَلِيمًا. And if they get separated, then Allah Almighty, according to their capacity, will bless them. And Allah Almighty is full of bounties, is bountiful and knowledgeable of everything. In this verse, Allah Almighty says that if there is no way to reform the situation and reconciliation is not, then you should not left her like a suspended thing, just standing in the middle. And then you should see her off with dignity and respect. And if you have left her suspended like that, so then the wife has the right that she should approach to the Qazi and get khula, get the separation. And Allah Almighty says that a mu'min man and a woman, they would be called only following the path of righteousness when they are living amicably with love and respect. And they are trying their best for this purpose. And if all these efforts are unsuccessful, so then they should get separated in a dignified, respectable way. And the husband should give all the dues to the wife. And so then this is what is obligatory upon a man to do like that. And if following the path of righteousness, if all the efforts have been failed, so in that case, if they are going to be separated, so Allah Almighty says that in that case, they, Allah Almighty, out of His limitless bounties, Allah Almighty is going to create something better, both for the wife and the husband, and they are going to be blessed. Allah Almighty will look after their needs. Although the separation of husband and wife, according to one hadith, is the like this, that Allah Almighty says that it is in the sight of Allah Almighty is an extremely undesirable thing. But following the path of righteousness, if all the efforts to continue establish this relationship and to continue with that have failed, so Allah Almighty, who knows what is deep down into the heart of people, then people are turning to God Almighty. Then they have to decide like that. In compulsion they have to take such decisions, and Allah Almighty, who is Wasi, Allah Almighty will also arrange, make the arrangements in such a extended way for their betterment. Because Allah Almighty is a fountainhead of wisdom, He is Hakim. So those decisions which are taken seeking the help of Allah Almighty, they are also based on wisdom. And they have the guidance of Allah Almighty in them. One principal matter which has been mentioned in this verse is that the decision about the matrimonial settlements, they should be made not in an emotional way, neither from the husband's side nor from the lady's side. If some emotional expression of that emotions is there, it should not be based on that one. The decision should not be taken on that. Rather, Allah Almighty, who knows everything and who everything is to His knowledge, where people should pray to Allah Almighty, and after seeking guidance from Allah, they should decide the matter. And then Allah Almighty says that if the decisions are taken like that, then Allah Almighty, by His grace, would create expansion and give them more provision. Allah Almighty will bless in their wealth. That wealth will be increased, and also in their relationship there will be a sense of expansion and accommodation. I mentioned about divorce, that some men, they prolong this process of divorce, and they try to prolong it. So we should remember that one thing, that when the marriage is there, when the husband and wife, they live together as husband and wife, and many a time they get they have some children as well. And then the question of separation comes. So then the rights of the wife is quite clear. The haq mehr and the maintenance of the children, that has to be paid. And Allah Almighty says that sometimes the situations are such that when before they are actually starting living as husband and wife, even then this, if this talaq takes place, then divorce takes place, then you also look after their rights even in that situation. Allah Almighty says, لَا جُنَاحَ لَيْكُمْ إِن تَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ مَا لَمْ تَمَسُّوهُنَّ وَتَفْرِزُوا لَهُنَّ فَرِيضَةً وَمَتِّعُوهُنَّ عَلَى الْمُوسِعِ قَدَرُهُ وَعَلَى الْمُقْتَدِرِ قَدَرُهُ مَتَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ حَقًّا لِلْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah Almighty says that there is no sin upon you if you divorce the wife with whom you have not touched, no matrimonial relation is there, and also give them some benefit. And the one who can afford, he should also do it, and the one who is very tight, he should do it according to his capacity. And this is what is binding upon those who are trying to do some favor to other people. Allah Almighty says in this verse that when the marriage relationship is in the question is raised by the husband, for whatever reason it may be, then it becomes the responsibility of the husband that he should be very, very kind to the wife, and according to his capacity he should pay all the dues. If Allah Almighty has given him abundance of wealth, then the man is instructed that you show this abundance. The Allah who has given you this abundance and affluence, if you do not show that, then Allah Almighty has the power to even curtail that and to stop that. If you do not give the full rights, then Allah Almighty can also change that into adversity, that affluence that he has given to you. He has the power to do so. So therefore, if you want to get the blessings from Allah Almighty, then you also show this kindness in your dealing to that wife whom you are divorcing. And as Allah Almighty does not burden or bound anybody beyond their capacity, he says that if a poor man is not able to give abundantly, then according to his capacity, whatever he can pay, he should pay that. So Allah Almighty says that if you are doing virtue, performing virtues and good deeds, and you are following the path of righteousness, then it is obligatory upon you that you should go for this favor. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to how extent he followed this principle, that is clear in one hadith. One Ansari got married, and then he before the consummation of marriage he decided to leave that woman, and there was no haq mehr fixed. That matter was brought to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him that, have you given her something by way of favor? He said that, O Prophet of Allah, I do not have anything to pay. He said that if you don't have anything, so then whatever the cap that we have on your head, at least you can give that to her. So that shows, that clearly shows that how the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in favor of these rights of women, and how he explained these points. This condition which has been mentioned here, that if the haq mehr has not been fixed, still you give her something. So in this very similar condition, if the haq mehr has already been agreed, then what is to be done? There is a very clear instruction about that. So in that case, if the haq mehr, the dower money, has already been fixed, then the half of that has to be paid. So in this way, the Holy Quran has the rights of the ladies upon their husbands and on their families. These rights have been fully established. And the Holy Quran tells us what are the obligations and the duties of the husbands regarding their relationship and also regarding the maintenance and the feeding of the children, this is mentioned there, and the payment for this feeding of the children, and all other matters related to this one. This detail has also been mentioned, that this is a duty upon the husband, and all these responsibilities which are they have mutually between husband and wife, Allah Almighty says that all these responsibilities are there, and Allah says that we have put all these responsibilities considering the your capabilities and capacities, so you go for their discharging these things. There is a long detail of that, Huzur says, which I cannot mention at this time. The 2 points which I have mentioned, they should be enough for this matter. I wanted to mention in this regard that regarding the the rights of the women, what was the noble example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in order to get the pleasure of Allah Almighty, the highest standard of action, the highest standard were established by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and secondly that every Ahmadi Muslim has the responsibility that they should be paying full attention to these rights, considering the noble example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, particularly those duties which Allah Almighty has been put upon the Muslim men. So now I want to draw your attention to one another important aspect, which is not very common, although by the grace of Allah in Jamaat it is not so common, but still I hear in Ahmadi society this voice is heard here and there sometime. Allah Almighty says in Surah Al-An'am,
وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَأَوْفُوا الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعَدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى وَبِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُوا ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ.
Allah says that except for that which is very good, don't go near to the wealth of the orphan people, children, unless they are grown up, and then all the duties should be discharged with justice, and we do not bind any person beyond their capacity, and whenever you say, always say with justice, however, whatever relationship you may have, and fulfill your covenant with Allah, and this is you are strongly advised, so that you can get lesson and good lesson from these things. In this verse, Allah Almighty, there are five things which Allah Almighty has mentioned in this verse, which we are required to do. The very first thing is, this is the declaration of Allah Almighty, this is the pronouncement of Allah Almighty, that we do not put any responsibility upon anyone beyond their capacity. And as I said, that Allah Almighty, because of His all-inclusive knowledge, He knows it fully well what are the capacities and the limits of every human being, and to what extent these abilities are there, He knows it fully well. So whatever commandments have been given by Allah, they are within our capacity, within our ability, which we can perform. And these things which are mentioned in this verse, the first thing mentioned here is that you should never go near the wealth of the poor orphan, unless which is the best one. And those people who get the wealth of these orphans, they are the trustees of that wealth. So therefore, so that should be spent for the betterment of those orphans, honestly. And Allah Almighty has mentioned in some other place, that was mentioned before, that your effort should be, there are one or two verses before that it is mentioned, that the wealth of the orphans should be safeguarded and look after their proper education and upbringing. But if somebody is not well off and he cannot spend on these orphans, then he should spend carefully from the wealth of the orphans, nor it should the whole wealth of should be squandered. It should not be done like that. So there are some people who can take care of this wealth until the orphans become grown up. They are the trustees and they have to take care of it with full responsibility. And the due right can be discharged only that they take care of this wealth just in the same way as they take care of their own wealth. And if it is invested on some profitable business, it should be then it should be done, but there should be no element of interest in that one. So as you take care of your own wealth, the similar attitude should be in case of the wealth of the orphans. Allah Almighty says that that money should also be invested in the same way, so that in that business, if there is a blessing in that, they should get the profit of that and their wealth should increase because it's a profitable business. And when they grow up, so they may be able to see the expansion of the business. Then, because despite the fact that they were orphans, they are orphans, they should become a part of the whole society. But sometimes there are certain complaints in which the relatives they are not taking care of the property and the wealth of the orphans honestly, and some of the people have their relatives as the orphans with them. So such people, they should always remember it very well, that if they eat that wealth of the orphans, then there is not going to be any expansion and blessing in their wealth. And even if they get some benefit in this worldly life, in the Allah Almighty, then they would be under this admonition of Allah Almighty, that those people who eat from the wealth of the orphans, Allah Almighty says, إِنَّمَا يَاكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارَ, that these people, they only put fire into their bellies. And those people who become the helpers of these people who commit this injustice, they are also going out of the instruction of Allah Almighty, which is mentioned after that, فَادَلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى, that you should always go for justice, however close he might be related to you. So this is a point we should be very mindful of that and should be afraid of its violation, that the taking care of the wealth of the orphan should be there. And if somebody is using it in an unlawful way, we should not become their helper. And the protection of the wealth of the orphans, and to hand over to them when they are grown up, then Allah Almighty after that He says that in your measurement and your business, in your business there should always be justice, because this is something which has actually doomed certain nations, because this injustice and foul play in business becomes the cause of their downfall. The example of the companions was such that sometime if there was a defect in that commodity, even if the buyer was not aware of that, they used to themselves point it out to them, so that there should be no element of deception at all. In the end, Allah Almighty has also mentioned about justice. Other justice has already been mentioned before. And Allah says that you should fulfill that covenant which you have made with Allah Almighty. The first things were regarding the social justice and the improvement, reformation of the society. But you can act upon these things that when you understand that Allah Almighty is the one whose knowledge is the most expanding, and He knows everything. He knows it fully well, to what extent a certain is taking care of His covenants and promises. When keeping in view these covenants made with Allah Almighty, you will only then you will be able to discharge the responsibilities of Allah and the human beings. And when you understand these matters, then it will be understood that you have really paid heed to this one and learnt a lesson from it. And you are acting upon these commandments of Allah Almighty. You are trying your best to follow these instructions. And you have never, this thought has never crossed your mind, that this duty was beyond my capacity, but always be assured that all these commandments are always within our capacity and we can possibly do it. And with this intention, when they will be trying to follow that, then we will be getting the blessing by the grace of Allah from this promise of Allah Almighty, where He says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا صَالِحَاتِ لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسَاهَا أُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And those people who believed and they performed good deeds, we will not put burden beyond their capacity. And these are the people who are the people of paradise, and they are going to stay there forever. So may it be so that Allah make it like this, that we are always submitting to Allah Almighty, to that Allah Almighty, and also following His commandments, who has, according to our capacities and capabilities, He has given us these instructions and He has asked us to follow these commandments, who has, according to our limited expansion, He has put this responsibility according to our limited capacity. But along with that, He has also given us the promise, and He has mentioned that Allah's mercy and grace is boundless and limitless, and He has given us the promise of forgiveness. So therefore, it is our responsibility that we should always be, because of Allah's limitless bounty and grace, we should be always trying our best to perform good deeds and continue to do so. May Allah enable us to do like that. Ameen.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.